This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Epstein file stuff, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the budget. We'll talk about grocery carts. We'll talk about the media getting their just desserts. What a show tonight on I'm Right. Okay, let's talk about this Epstein stuff really quickly here. I told you that it was not going to be earth-shattering. Today, the list is, at least some of it, the Epstein files, the Epstein list, whatever you want to put, it was released courtesy, in large part, of Senator Marsha Blackburn, who will join us in a couple moments. Credit to her for being all over this stuff. But, you know, I told you it wasn't going to be what you want it to be. It's just not. That's not how it works. Think for a moment. Just let's talk about why. Think for a moment about how many wealthy, powerful people did really bad things with Jeffrey Epstein. Wealthy, powerful people. Okay, you got that. Now think about the kind of attorneys wealthy, powerful people are able to get their hands on. Have you ever paid $1,000 an hour attorney? Neither have I, but wealthy, powerful people do. Now, think about all the legal loopholes and liability that comes with just dumping a list on somebody's lap where everybody will immediately assume any name on that list is some child trafficking pedophile. Of course, the lawyers have been all over this. Of course, look, it was always going to be disappointing. And look, I'll tell you again, sorry to be Debbie Downer, sorry to be Daddy Jesse, but Mommy's gone, it's time for Daddy. The JFK files are going to be disappointing too. If you ever lay your eyes on those, as I've told you many times before, it's going to be a whole lot of black marker through everything, because anything really truly damaging that's in those things was long paper shredded, oh, I don't know, probably about 1963. So it is what it is. But it is good that people are pushing forward. It's good that we're learning something. We need to know. I want to know how many wealthy, powerful people traffic in kids. It's just the most sick, depraved thing in the world. And so if people are on that list, I want to know who they are. Look, we've known names for years. We've known about Clinton. We've known that for years. Amy Robach came out and had a behind-the-scenes video where she said, we had Clinton. We know that. We know that Bill Gates' ex-wife told a magazine that she divorced him in part because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. We know some names, of course. Are we going to learn a bunch of new earth-shattering things? No. But maybe something's coming? I don't know. Let's talk to Senator Marsha Blackburn about it because she gets credit for this thing really coming out at all. Joining me now, the lady who deserves all the credit in the world for the stuff we're finally finding out, Senator from the great state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn joins me. Senator, one, I applaud you for being all over this when so many others weren't. It's hard to find something more sick and evil than trafficking women, but apparently that's been done by some very powerful people.
And what we know is this is kind of phase one of the Epstein files. This is information I've tried for years to get the FBI to release to us, and they have refused. So now that we have AG Bundy and Director Patel, we do have this first tranche. What you will see when you look at this is names from Ghislaine Maxwell's Black Book. You will see some flight logs. I do want to say this, Jesse. Not every name that you see means they participated in this trafficking with Jeffrey Epstein. But some of these people may have just been in his orbit. Maybe they saw something. Maybe they would be willing to talk with the FBI. Our goal is to make certain that for the 254 women and children who their names are fully redacted, everything redacted, that we get justice for these individuals and that we stop the human and sex trafficking that is happening in this country. It is modern day slavery, breaking apart this human trafficking ring, which is a $150 billion a year business. This is something we need to be focused on doing.
Amen, we sure do. The things I have learned about human trafficking and what goes on in this country, in Cuba and Latin America, it's unbelievable to me. Okay, you say the FBI has been hanging on to these things. That really begs the question. Honestly, that's almost more evil than Jeffrey Epstein. The federal law enforcement arm, the premier federal law enforcement arm, has been keeping this stuff from you? Why?
Well, as the top Republican on the Human Rights Subcommittee, I've asked repeatedly for information about this because, you know, unraveling these trafficking rings is like a puzzle. You get one piece and it leads you to pieces 2, 3, and 4. And then you begin to pull together the information around this. And as I said, the cartels have gotten involved in the human and sex trafficking. It is estimated to be $150 billion a year. It is pervasive. And we know that in the case of Epstein and what we've learned, there were 254 women and children that were involved in this. Now, in the records we saw today, there is information from the raid that the FBI did at Epstein's house. And this was before he was apprehended and before the trial. And as we all know, he died while he was in jail. And what we know now is that there are laptops, computers, phones, there are other items that were taken, and we had suspected that the FBI had these. We couldn't get them. We also know that there is video footage that was taken from his place there in Florida. We would like to have access to that to see who else is involved. Now, from some of the law enforcement notes that were revealed today, we do know that Jean-Luc Brunel, who was the French sex trafficker, who, by the way, died in a French prison awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. We do know that he was in Epstein's orbit. And so beginning to, this gives us the opportunity to look more closely at that. Now, asking for the IRS records that are also yet to come is something that will show us who his financial transactions were with. And so, you know, Jesse, all of this, like I said, everything we get is one piece of the puzzle. A.G. Bondi, Director Patel are on this. They're trying to find all of this information wherever it may be, have been kept or stored. And we anticipate that we will have more information we're able to bring forward. The American people want answers to this. They all agree. I talk to people every single day who talk about how revolting the crime of human and sex trafficking is and what it does to people. I talked to someone this week who was working with an individual who had been trafficked for an 8-year period of time. And they finally got away from it because they were pregnant and they gave birth. And so that is the way they were able to get away from this. But when you hear some of these stories and you know that human trafficking is modern day slavery, it is imperative that we get the puzzle pieces and that we begin to hold these people to account.
That's my final question to you, Senator, the holding to account thing. Now, I understand, I'm not pretending to be some lawyer, that there's statute of limitations stuff. There's all kinds of rules and laws and things like that here. Is this going to end, or is it possible this ends with powerful people going to prison? Because that doesn't seem to happen very often.
And what we want to do is those people that participated in the trafficking of individuals, to have them held to account. So this is one of the reasons we've tried for years to get this information. And we will continue to do that. And then also it's why we're looking for the financial transactions on this, Jesse, because that will tell us who Epstein was working with and who his transactions were with.
Senator, thank you for staying on this. Thank you for being on it for so long. You deserve so much credit for what came out today. Very much appreciate you. Thank you. It's freaking gross, man. And she's not wrong. It's slavery. I mean, you hear these stories. Have you ever heard these stories? It's a global business, trafficking in people. You didn't think slavery was over, did you? It'll never be. As long as there are evil people in the world, they will want to own and control and abuse others. Friggin' awful. Anyway, I'm sure that probably made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, let's talk about the budget. Let's move off of this sticky stuff and talk about the budget and other things with Eli Crane in a moment. Before we do that, maybe you're noticing something. Maybe you're noticing that I'm not wearing my Wasson watch today. Do you know why I'm not wearing my Wasson watch today? Because my sons are obsessed with it. They know it was created by a Marine, which of course it was. That's Wasson watch. And they've wanted a good watch forever. I won't give them one because they'll break it. And so those little thieves swiped it and took it to school today. That's why I don't have my Wasson watch on. But I love Wasson, man. I love them because they boldly speak out on behalf of cultural issues that other watch companies won't touch. They won't touch. Whatever brand of watch you wear, that company's never said a word. Wasson Watch, they'll publicly declare unborn babies deserve to be protected. They do it without shame, without hesitation. That's awesome. I love them. And the watch is amazing. And you get 10% off with the promo code Jesse at WassonWatch.com. Go get a Wasson and don't let your kids have it. We'll be back.
We want to balance a budget. We want to have a balanced budget within a reasonably short period of time, meaning maybe by next year or the year after, but maybe even sooner than that.
Sounds good. Sign me up for that. Is it possible? I don't know. I bet you Eli has a good idea. Joining me now, Congressman Eli Crane, good one from the state of Arizona, former Navy SEAL. Okay, Congressman, Trump says he wants a balanced budget. We hear every day about, you know, cuts here and cuts there and Doge this and Doge that. Is a balanced budget possible?
Well, Jesse, I'm not going to hold my breath, but based on some of the folks that I work with up here in Congress, but I do know that the president has always been an outside-the-box thinker, and I'm very impressed with his first 30 days, and I'm especially impressed with this Doge group that has been exposing to the American people what many of us have known for a long time. I don't think even those of us that have been extremely skeptical of the federal government for a long time knew even the tip of the iceberg when they start going in and look at some of these agencies like USAID and others. And so, I think we're headed in the right direction, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Let's talk about the budget that just went through. It was one that had the vocal backing of Donald Trump. He was all about it, and you voted for it. And what's in it? What do we like? What do we hate? I know there's all kinds of crap we hate all the time.
Yeah, well, Jesse, this, like many of the spending bills up in Washington, was a tough bill for many of us. Many of us felt like it didn't cut enough, and it absolutely didn't. But when you look at what the Republican conference came back from Miami with several months ago, the cuts were a laughable $300 billion over 10 years. So some of us were able to, negotiate that up to about $2 trillion as the floor over 10 years. But when you break that down on an annual basis, Jesse, that's a couple $100 billion annually when you have a $2 trillion deficit, which is why I say it's not nearly enough. you know. So, you know, didn't love it. But, you know, I think with the group that we have up here, that's honestly the best we can do. It came down to the very end. There were several holdouts at the end. There were caucuses saying that they weren't going to, you know, vote for it earlier on in the week. So I'm actually surprised that it passed, you know, to begin with.
All right, speaking of it passing, you're there and we're not. We hear all the time now about the reconciliation process. Now there's reconciliation. Well, what does that mean? Where do we go from here?
Well, the next, you know, the next event up here, Jesse, it's going to be the lapsing of the funding in a couple weeks. And so, you know, I'm hearing there's probably going to be an attempt at a CR. You know, same old business in Washington. And so that's where we go from here. You know, and it's sad and it's disappointing, but you know, we still have the same people up here, Jesse. You still have the same group. You have the appropriators, the Warhawks, the Californians, the New Yorkers. And it's just like, most people don't up here, don't seem to understand, in my opinion, where this, you know, where this thing is headed, and that we cannot keep doing this forever. So it's a frustrating place to be, but I do see signs of headed in the right direction because of, not because of the Congress, which is pretty laughable and quite honestly a joke at most times, but because of the leadership of the president and how he thinks outside the box, and also how he puts pressure on the House of Representatives and the Senate to enact, you know, his agenda.
I know you're frustrated, brother. I hear it in your friggin' voice. Can you help me understand why these people don't get it when it's math? You know, it's not you and I having an argument about abortion or border security or something like that. It's math. Like the math says we can't keep doing this, or, you know, people can't afford groceries, right? They know that, right? I mean, they can do math.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, Jesse. You know, it's like, I think One factor is it's so easy to spend other people's money, right? And if you come up here to DC and you start talking to people about, you know, a couple hundred billion here, trillion here, it I don't think it really resonates or registers with a lot of people. But I think some of them, Jesse, it's kind of like a game of economical music chairs where they hope that, you know, this house of cards doesn't collapse while they're still up here and without a chair. And so, like I said, man, it continues to be a frustrating place to be. But one more thing I'd like to say about that, Jesse, is I think many politicians are able to get away with it, quite frankly, because their voters don't care. Their constituents don't care. And I think one of the reasons for that is because we've had it so good for so long that most people don't think the United States has to play by the rules of reality. And I don't think that they understand that this nation could collapse because of our arrogance and our foolishness.
Yeah, it's happened to many nations before. Tim Burchett, one of my favorites up there, he dropped this little bit of it yesterday.
Mr. Roman, are you aware that we are sending $40 million a week to the Taliban?
Yes, sir.
Can you name other instances of foreign aid going to terrorist organizations?
We have assisted Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's been instances of the Khamsi network in Sudan, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Qataiba Hezbollah, Hayat Ahrir al-Shams in Syria. Dozens of terror organizations have received indirect assistance from U.S. foreign aid.
Congressman, can you help me understand how that happens?
I think it's just, you know, relatable to everything else that we see in Washington. I mentioned the words arrogant and foolish a couple seconds ago, Jesse. And to me, that's the exact same thing. I mean, it's just so mind-boggling that we would, you know, fund one of our adversaries, but one of the biggest terrorist organizations in the world to the tune of, you know, $40 million to $80 million a week. And you know, when you talk to some politicians up here, they'll tell you, oh, well, that money's not really going to, the Taliban or other terrorist groups. It's going to NGOs. But they're foolish to think that, you know, these terrorist organizations which run, you know, these countries aren't getting a cut of that.
Yeah, of course. Let's change the subject. Talk about something wonderful. Impeaching judges. What do you got going on?
Yeah, Jesse. So, you know, we filed, you know, articles of impeachment probably about a week ago. We were looking around. We saw that the Democrat play, because they don't control the executive branch, the House or the Senate, was going to be to use activists, judges, to try and stop the Trump administration. We've seen that the second part of their plan is to use activism, you know, by going, you know, blowing up town halls and banging on congressmen's, you know, district offices. So that's, you know, step two of their, process to try and stop what the Trump administration is doing. But, you know, Jesse, at the end of the day, you have activist judges that are trying to stop President Trump utilizing his Article II powers under the Constitution to make sure that our laws are faithfully executed. And when you look at some of, just take USAID, for example, right? This is an organization I tried to defund by 50% last Congress, and it was actually Republicans who stopped me from doing it. But you take all these organizations, and as you finally get somebody like Elon Musk under the leadership of President Trump to start looking under the hood of these organizations, it is just a viper's nest up here. There's so much fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. You know, and many of these Democrats and these radical judges are trying to stop, the Secretary of the Treasury or Elon Musk from looking under the hood and look at the organizations that they've been tasked to oversee and lead. Jesse, how could you possibly, oversee an organization where you can't even look at the data, you can't look at the payments that are going out? Why would a judge be trying to stop that? And so, you know, many of us are trying to use our, you know, Article I powers to try and stop these judges. We have the power to impeach. We have the authority to impeach. It is a heavy lift. But Jesse, I've never seen a battle won when, you know, guys on one side of, you know, the fight are looking around at each other, hoping that somebody's going to do something. And so, Jesse, I don't care if, you know, this gets resolved through an expedited hearing at the Supreme Court. I don't care if it's my articles of impeachment or Andrew Clyde's or, you know, Mr. Ogles from Tennessee. At the end of the day, I refuse to sit by and just watch this this happen and us not do anything about it.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating to watch these nutball judges just do the things they do. Congressman, as always, my brother, I appreciate you very much. Stay in the fight. I know you're frustrated. I get it. Good man. Good man. Good man in a very bad town. All right. Are we going to get rid of the IRS? Should we? Talk about that with Carol Roth in a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about getting your cell phone service switched up, shall we? You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. You don't. Look, we all know these big mobile companies are just the most soulless, commie, garbage companies. We know that, but why do we have them? Because we don't feel like we have options. Well, I got to have it. I need it for work. My kid needs it. I can't drop calls. Pure Talk is on the same 5G network. Same coverage. My coverage actually got better when I dropped T-Mobile and switched to Pure Talk. I can actually make phone calls from the living room in my house now, which I could not before. You'll save a fortune, and with a qualifying purchase, they're giving out free phones now. iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy. Switch to the patriotic cell phone company that actually loves the country. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. The IRS. Washington Post reports that the IRS is closing 110 offices, and Trump's deputy chief of staff came out and said it's time to abolish the IRS. Now, that's not exactly something you're going to come out and say publicly unless the big man is signing off on that, because that's how you lose your job. Now, I'm going to do the best I can and not get myself too excited here, but are we going to really abolish the IRS? Joining me now, Carol Roth. Hopefully not to pour cold water all over me, is joining me, author of the book, You Will Own Nothing, Everybody Knows Carol Roth. Carol, are we gonna get rid of the IRS?
I mean, this certainly is a dream for pretty much everybody other than the tax me harder daddy crowd, which, you know, there's a small percentage of the people that are in that. So this would be very exciting. And I do like the fact that people close to the Trump administration are playing around with that. But the question is, what does it mean? Because there are so many people who say abolish the IRS. And certainly, you know, if we are adults, we understand there are things that still need to get paid for. You know, we have to pay for our defense, and we have to pay for our court systems, and we have to pay for, you know, other things. So there needs to be some level of administration of that. I have always contended that they should just send us a bill, right? Like everybody else. Here are the things that, you know, you were charged for the defense, for, you know, shrimps walking on treadmill studies, whatever it is, and they itemize it and they send us a bill so that we don't have to waste even more time while they are taking so much of our money, because that's a little bit of a kick in the teeth. And certainly with AI and folks like Musk in place, it seems to me that you could, you know, have the ability to answer a short form questionnaire, have AI sort through some information and be able to come up with, you know, some sort of a number in a couple of different places. I think that some of the people who are spouting this, Jesse, are assuming that if you abolish the IRS all of a sudden that, you know, the government's not going to have to collect trillions of dollars in taxes in some way, shape, or form, which, you know, certainly is a pipe dream, or that they think like something like tariffs is going to pay for this. And the math doesn't math there either. But if we are moving in the right direction, I think that's good. It's also a really good time to do this because we do have a shortage of accountants in this country. And so, you know, at a time where this is going to be something that's going to affect, you know, in particular the accounting industry, which I'm sure is lobbying the most heavily to not have the tax code simplified, kind of like the barber telling you that you need a haircut, you know, the fact that we have fewer and fewer people who want to be accountants and that we don't have enough of them actually makes now the ideal time to try to address this.
Yeah, I can't believe we have a shortage of accountants. Gosh, there's nerds everywhere. I can't believe we don't have enough. Okay, let's talk about the tariff thing, because we found out yesterday that Trump is moving forward with a 25% tariff, not exactly a small one, on Canada, Mexico, jacking up 10% on China. Carol, strap us in. What are we in for here?
You know, I've always said that this is a little bit art of the deal. It seems to me that this is something that Trump wants to put out to try to extract, you know, either real or performative concessions. We can argue about which of those they are. And I do think that, you know, if this were something that were to stay in place, it would be to the detriment of everybody who's involved. So I do hope that this is something that gets addressed quicker and sooner rather than later. And I do think he will claim victory on something or another. But at the same time, you know, Trump is stubborn and his team is stubborn, and he's surrounded by a lot of people who really like the idea of tariffs. So it doesn't mean that we won't see some pain from that before that, you know, it ultimately comes to a conclusion. Because the reality is, I think, particularly in the cases of our biggest trading partners, you know, tariffs are a tactic rather than an end game, in my opinion. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about before, you know, tariffs also strengthen the dollar, you know, against those currencies. And given where the dollar is right now and all the potential implications for that, that's something that if we get too much higher could touch off a debt spiral. So again, a tripwire that if you want to go in one direction, you have to be really careful that you don't touch that, because that could have all of these unintended consequences.
Carol, explain that, tariffs and the value of the dollar. Expand on that for stupid people like me.
So basically, when I tell you that the dollar is strong, you might laugh at me and go, I went to the grocery store, the dollar is not strong, I can't buy anything. So it's not strong against a bag of groceries per se, but it is strong against baskets of other currencies in the world, you know, which is great if you are trying to import things cheaply. It's bad if you're an exporter, but it is also bad because foreigners hold a lot of our assets. And things around the world are priced in dollars. And so if you have the dollar get, you know, continue to get strong, what happens when these countries need to buy energy, food, other goods and services that are priced in dollars, well, they somehow have to raise those dollars. And the easiest thing to do is something like sell one of our treasuries. Well, we know our treasuries trade inverse, those bonds trade inverse to treasury yields, which are also, you know, on the upswing. They've come down in recent days, but, you know, have been very high, you know, kind of now over the last 15 years. So if you end up having all of these people who are sellers, that's going to put downward pressure on the price of treasuries and upward pressure on those yields. And if those yields get too high, well, again, that impacts how much we're paying for our debt and could just, you know, there's certain numbers that trigger lots of things that happen in the markets. And we're getting close on both the dollar. And then if you get into a certain range on the 10-year yield, it's going to happen too. So all of these things are very interconnected. They're very opaque for a reason. But that's when I talk about these tripwires that have been laid by the Biden administration that really limit the things that the Trump administration can do. And then you see them talking about one of those things, they may not realize that they're heading into one of these tripwires. I'm sure someone in the administration must realize this. They've got some smart people, but in terms of the things that they project outwardly, is not the thing that you necessarily hear first. But you hear it here. You do hear it here. Hear it here first. Say that 10 times.
Opaque is such a great word. I'm going to figure out how to use that word, and I'm going to use it today.
You should.
Carol, what do we even get from Canada and Mexico? Because I don't eat avocados. I don't care about that.
Well, Canada is an interesting one. You know, certainly in the auto parts industry, there's a lot of those parts that I guess there's kind of this back and forth trade where components are set up to Canada and there's stuff that's added on and it comes back. You know, the same thing as you mentioned, you might not like avocados. I don't either, by the way. We could totally do without that. But there's a whole bunch of other produce and goods that come from Mexico. And so they are good trading partners. The other thing that's going on with Mexico is that instead of manufacturing in China, you have all these companies who are now have now chosen to manufacture in Mexico, right? Where you have something that's closer to home, have something that, you know, you can just drive across the border. And before this, oh, we have a really good situation where we don't have these, you know, crazy issues and tariffs. And now that's going to throw that whole plan, you know, a little bit of a wrench into that plan. So you're seeing, you know, whether it's medical devices or toys or textiles or other things, you know, all of this manufacturing that has been increasing, you know, right south of the border in Texas, in Tijuana and areas. And, you know, this is a new endeavor to get things closer and manufacture things in North America to the extent we can't manufacture them in the U.S. for cost reasons. And now that's thrown a little bit of a wrench into that plan for sure.
Gosh. All right, Carol, really quickly, small business. You've been ranting and raving about something recently. Explain to people what you're hot on right now.
Okay. We have 3 weeks left. And if nothing is done by Congress, if nothing is done by the Trump administration, as nothing is done by the Treasury or Doge, that millions of small businesses unknowingly are going to be made into financial criminals and could face jail time and fines that are up to almost $600 a day and will continue to increase because of inflation. So this is something called the CTA BOI rule, the Corporate Transparency Act Beneficial Ownership Information Rule. And basically it's saying, hey, if you have an entity, even if you're a solopreneur that has an entity, an LLC, an S Corp, whatever it is, that you have to register with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Division of the Treasury because they're trying to stop cartels, money launderers, and terrorists, who of course are not going to register. Big businesses are exempt. Financial services companies are exempt. I'll break the news right here. I haven't put it out yet, but I'm hearing that it could be the banks and the national security folks who are behind this that are trying to keep this from getting overturned. But it's in the court system and it's been deemed unconstitutional, but only for the people who are in that particular lawsuit, which is ridiculous. So Congress, the House has already passed a one-year delay bill. The Senate refuses to do anything. There are two bills, the Repealing Big Brother Overreach Act, that would repeal this entirely. And unfortunately, the House and the Senate have not voted on that. The Trump administration, who said they want to support deregulation of Main Street, could just go to Treasury and say, don't do this. So somebody, we have 3 weeks. Small businesses need saving. There are 35 million of them, by the way, plus housing association boards and some private companies caught up in this. This is the most obvious win. So don't let the banks win. Don't let these congressional weirdos win. We have to save small business. So call your Congress people immediately. Anyone who knows anyone in the Trump administration, we have to get rid of the CTA BOI rule immediately because there's only 3 weeks left.
Amen. My local taco shop goes out of business, I'm going to lose my mind. Carol, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. I want you to sleep well tonight. I want you to sleep well every single night. And that's why I tell you about Dream Powder from Beam every day. I love it. I love it. Because nothing else has ever worked for me. I'll go to sleep. I've had it. You name it, I've had it. I'll take this and take that. But every time, every single time, I wake up and I am so groggy and tired, it's awful. Dream Powder is the only thing I've ever had that doesn't happen because it's natural. It's a cup of hot chocolate. I just sip on a cup of hot chocolate, laying in bed, reading a book, talking to the wife, sip on a little cup of hot cocoa and then gone. Sleep like a baby and wake up feeling good. You want to feel like that? Have it every night if you want. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly is where you go. We'll be back. Communists need control. It's not that they love control, although they do. They have to have it. Because communism is a sick, evil, demonic religion that nobody would ever sign up for if they realized there were other options. The communist realizes that, so he's always tried to control everything, including information. In fact, that's probably the most important thing that he controls, information. If you can actually find the truth, you would never sign up for the things he wants. And that brings us to the American media in this country and what they're going through and the wonderful, wonderful things that are happening right now. You see, forever, for as long as really I've been alive, ABC, NBC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, these gigantic corporate press organizations have been run by committed communists who have done everything they can to destroy this country. That is what they've done. They set out to destroy the country. They are the sword and shield of American communism. Now, what is great, what is happening right now is they're frantic. They're on the run. And look, it's not actually because Donald Trump beats them up every day. This is just the fun stuff.
Their lives have been ruined, and in many cases, listen to me for a second. Stop interrupting.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who worry that targeting an individual firm or individuals who, you know, aren't Jack Smith?
Excuse me. I've been targeted for 4 years. Longer than that. So you don't tell me about targeting.
What would you be willing to do to support this European peacekeeping effort? Would there be...
Again, you're asking me the same question? How many times do you have to answer? You're talking about after we make peace. Let me make peace first. Once we make peace, I'll give you all the answers you want. But how many times can you ask the same question?
The spending bill that passed last night aims to cut $2 trillion.
Right.
Can you guarantee that Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security will not be touched?
Yeah, I mean, I have said it so many times, you shouldn't be asking me that question.
Mr. President, do you have a reaction to the new Time magazine cover that has Elon Musk sitting behind your Resolute desk?
Is Time magazine still in business? I didn't even know that.
But these voters say they're angry and frustrated by these firings. They don't like the work of Elon Musk and these other actions. What do you say to them?
Who do you work for?
I work for ABC News, sir.
Who?
ABC News.
No wonder.
The Vice President suggested that if the Supreme Court rules in a way that you don't like, they can just enforce it by themselves. Do you agree with that?
I don't know even what you're talking about. Neither do you. Who are you with?
Up
close,
sir.
Who?
Up close.
Oh, no wonder. I thought they died. Are they still around? I haven't read them in years. I thought they died. All right, go ahead. Who else?
No, I enjoy it. That's the fun stuff, though. The truth is the American media, American communism, they are desperate, they're afraid, they're frantic right now because due to a lot of things, really the internet age and other things, we now have other sources. If I want the news, if I want opinion, I don't have to go to ABC, NBC, CBS. That really was their ultimate power for, you know, if it's 1990 even, 1995. If you want to know what's going on in the world, what's going on in politics, you have to pick up the New York Times, which is all commie garbage. You have to sit down and watch CBS at night, all commie garbage. Now you can sit down and watch the first. Now you have so many different options, the internet era, and that is really what has doomed American communism and most definitely the American media. Because back to what we discussed in the very beginning, they must control everything at all times, otherwise people will be able to find the truth. The communist must have control. And if he doesn't, he's finished. And look, this stuff, that like Caroline Leavitt and what they're doing with the reporters and stuff like that, this stuff is wonderful because it's driving home to the American media that you are not the only show in town anymore. You are one of many. Here she was.
As you all know, for decades, a group of D.C.-based journalists, the White House Correspondents Association, has long dictated which journalists get to ask questions of the President of the United States in these most intimate spaces. Not anymore. I am proud to announce that we are going to give the power back to the people who read your papers, who watch your television shows, and who listen to your radio stations. Moving forward, the White House press pool will be determined by the White House press team. Legacy outlets who have participated in the press pool for decades will still be allowed to join, fear not, but we will also be offering the privilege to well-deserving outlets who have never been allowed to share in this awesome responsibility.
They're losing control, and it's wonderful to watch. Absolutely wonderful to watch. Now, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, that's not fair. I doubt you're saying that if you're watching me right now, but maybe you are saying, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. Remember this. Oh, they were more than excited for this to happen to Fox News.
There are, you know, these questions about Fox's, as Fox radicalizes and as it becomes even more and more of a political tool. Zerwick, you wrote a column recently for The Sun about this, saying Fox should be viewed as a political tool. And that raises a question. Should it be a part of the White House press pool? You know, should it be afforded the privileges that come with news gathering? Even though they do have some news reporters at the White House, you're saying they're primarily a political tool. So should that be reassessed, Zerwick?
And listen, I really do. I think it's a discussion we need to have. Look, you're not supporting democracy. You're not supporting the larger values of this culture.
They were totally happy to get rid of anybody who could create any dissenting view. Totally happy. Watching them be destroyed is wonderful. And just, I want to remind you how sick and evil these people are. Jake Tapper recently announced that he's coming out with a book. This book is about Biden's decline. Of course, the guy who is no longer president, no one even knows where he is. Have you heard from Joe lately? He's long gone. He walked into the White House for 4 years. He was basically a cadaver. And so the United States of America was run by the most radical Maoists you can possibly find. That's why the borders opened. That's why they destroyed so much in 4 years. And for 4 years, people like Jake Tapper covered it up, and they knew.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. Mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him. False claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage.
4 years. Jake Tapper was the shield protecting Joe Biden in the White House. and now publishes a book, Joe Biden's Decline. These are sick people, and they're getting exactly what they deserve. All right, let's do Late in the Mood, shall we? All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And before we do that, I need to let you know that in the coming days, maybe a week, I don't know, I'm waiting on something. I'm going to have a pretty big reveal, and I'm going to reveal it on YouTube. Do you know that? Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's free. All you have to do is youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. Just scan that thing with your phone. We'll roll out a little something on YouTube. You got to be on there to watch it, all right? All right. Now, you know that I've ranted many times before about putting away your shopping cart at the grocery store. And I'm not joking when I say I actually believe this country would improve leaps and bounds if we arrested and deported everybody who just leaves the shopping cart in the middle of the parking lot at the grocery store. And I'm not even close to kidding about that. Why? Because it's such a small thing, but it reveals so much about you and how you view yourself and your place in the world. It's just such an insanely selfish act to just leave it out there. Arrest, deport every single person who leaves the grocery cart out there. That said, every now and then, people who do it can deliver some hilarious videos. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.